This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, February 15th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's good to be with you this morning. On Tuesdays, I always remind you that we should try to pray to our guardian angel, even though you can't see your guardian angel. They are present with you. We should ask our guardian angels for help in our everyday lives. If you're not with us yesterday or you haven't heard, thank you once again. Thank you so much for another absolutely outstanding pledge drive last week. Unbelievable, amazing support. We reached our goal of $3 million by Friday night, right around 8 p.m. Central, and then some. So again, thanks to all of you, and a special thanks to our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Lourdes, who no doubt interceded for us, especially on that last day. And Blessed Mother is always with us during Pledge Drive Week. If you missed last week's Pledge Drive for whatever reason, you were out of town, you were just too busy, you can still give from the heart and make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call at 877-291-0123, or you can go online at relevantradio.com, or you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Again, thank you so much for your support. I want to bring in our very own Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what is the latest with the situation in Ukraine?
Well, John, speaking of intercession, there probably a lot of heavenly intercession going on of late here. Just in the last hour, some new news on the Russian-Ukrainian front there in terms of some Russian troops withdrawing. Once again, withdrawing some Russian troops headed back to base here. Russia says it's pulling out some of those forces, nearly 130,000 troops lined up along the border with Ukraine. A defense ministry spokesman said some units loading into transports and returning to their bases. That came just ahead of a planned meeting between Russian President Vladimir Putin and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. They're hoping to avoid a military conflict. The U.S. has shut down the embassy in Kyiv and moved things to western Ukraine as of yesterday as well. So let's hope these reports indeed are true, John.
Absolutely, Glenn. Lots of people are praying for peace in Ukraine. You know, it's never over till it's over. And of course, we continue to pray and unite our prayers, especially to the Ukrainian bishops right here in the U.S. who are also praying for peace for their homeland. So it looks like things might be turning around in the right direction, and it's possible to avert this possible invasion that so many have been expecting, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely. And just north of the border in Canada, new steps being taken to end protests in Ottawa over COVID vaccine mandates. With all those trucks lined up in front of Parliament there, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says it's gone far too long and people need to go home. So they've invoked some Emergency Powers Acts and have the ability to levy some very, very heavy fines if folks are where they should not be in the government's eyes. Now, they did reopen the bridge between Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit recently, but still all those trucks gathered in front of Parliament in Ottawa. And so Justin Trudeau, Canada's leader, would like to have them go away.
Well, let's hear from Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, who is enacting this emergency act for the first time. It hasn't been done in 50 years in Canada.
After discussing with cabinet and caucus, after consultation with premiers from all provinces and territories, after speaking with opposition leaders, the federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations. I want to be very clear. The scope of these measures will be time-limited, geographically targeted, as well as reasonable and proportionate. to the threats they are meant to address.
A lot of folks concerned that perhaps the Prime Minister of Canada has gone a little bit too far, that this might be over the top for that situation there with that protest with the truckers. So Glenn will continue to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, we will. And, you know, some chat about truckers doing a kind of a cross-country protest trip to end up in early March by the State of the Union address in Washington, D.C. as well. So we'll see what happens. But at the same time, these mandates are falling left and right in individual states now around the country.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the next hour with our chat about the latest with COVID with Dr. Bob Tabali. So thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sounds good, John.
We begin every show and every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings that we receive, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother. And especially today, we continue to ask the Mother of God to intercede for peace in Ukraine. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Corinthians 5:7. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." St. Paul is reminding us of the importance of living our everyday lives by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We rely on our faith in Christ, even though we can't see Jesus. He is with us always, as he promised. Christ is with us in the scriptures. He's with us par excellence in the Holy Eucharist. Let's live by faith in the Lord and not by sight. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, can you believe that Lent is right around the corner? Ash Wednesday is coming up on March 2nd. Here at Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass. They're free to you every day. Because you love last year's in-depth walkthrough of the Mass, we produced even more new exclusive video content every day to enrich your passion for the Holy Mass. This premium edition video series goes even deeper behind the scenes from the very moment that you enter a chapel to the final blessing. From Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, illuminate your Lent with daily insights that you can only find right in your inbox. You can sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. You can do it today. Do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent and get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Again, relevantradio.com/Lent. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. We're talking about electric vehicles, cryptocurrency, and virtual reality for work and leisure, which have been a kind of new concepts in our vocabulary in recent years. But we have seen them develop, but not to the point of becoming the norm in daily life. What would it take for these trends to become mainstream? Joining us now is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, to give us his take on these trends that could possibly become mainstream. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20 plus years of technology, new product development experience. For all things faith and tech, you can follow Mark on his Twitter account at GodLovesTech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us once again, another Tech Tuesday. Great to be with you again.
Great to be here.
Mark, I thought of you on Super Bowl Sunday, wondering, I wonder how many folks went out and actually bought big, giant, brand new TVs to watch the Super Bowl.
I didn't get any metrics on that trend, but it is so important that folks in retail hold on to their inventory past December 31st, when they tend to purge their inventory, sending them to second-tier shops for sale. But TVs, they tend to hold on to them to slash the price and get one last push. But the other thing that we noticed through those big screens on Super Bowl Sunday were some of the big trends that we're seeing from the Super Bowl ads. And the way the Super Bowl was televised itself on multiple streaming services, as well through what's called linear TV, which is what we would just call traditional TV channels. One thing that you may have noticed, John, when you were watching the Super Bowl was an ad of a QR code changing color and bouncing off of the edges of the screen like a Pong dot.
I sure did. I couldn't help but notice it. It kind of reminded me of the old video games, the very early primitive ones.
You got it. I was definitely getting some Pong flashbacks. But what was that ad for? It was one of multiple ads for cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency exchange services. Okay, cryptocurrency sounds scary. It's not Tales from the Crypt. It is cryptography, or cryptography used in currency. The underlying technology, Bill Ulivieri has been a contributor to Relevant Radio for years and has tried to make really good sense out of blockchain technology. It is the best way that I've heard him describe it has been, imagine that you have a small piece of paper that's attached to every product that you own, and every time you sell or purchase that item, on the piece of paper you put the initials of the person who bought it and the person who sold it. That's the best description of blockchain that I've ever heard. Well, what if those assets, those things that you own, were digital, right? So if you have a digital asset, you would need a digital piece of paper or a ledger that would enable you to see who has owned that product and who's the current owner. One very interesting positive for this is there are teams of people making sure that that piece of paper is accurate all the time. The miners, which is just a fancy word for someone who is trying to solve equations for the security of the entire blockchain that they're looking at, whether it be Bitcoin or Ether or several others, they can earn the currency that they're trying to protect by letting computers, high power, very fast computers, try to crack the security code. And if they get close, they earn essentially fractions of the currency they're trying to protect. So that's the fundamentals for those who are still a little skittish and a little worried about this phenomena. Well, the other thing that's preventing mass market adoption of these products and services is erratic pricing, right? The roller coaster ride in the stock market is nothing compared to the roller coaster ride in cryptocurrency. If the stock market changes up and down by a couple percent over the course of months and quarters, cryptocurrency can change double-digit percent in a day or two. Why is that?
Wow.
Well, yeah. It's because those stocks and bonds are being held by, there are billions, if not tens of millions of shares of that stock, and those stocks are put into exchanges, which are baskets of stocks. So the up and down of a particular stock is muted because of the quantity that there are out there. One of the attractive characteristics of cryptocurrency is that you just can't go and print more, like dollars or euro or yen. They are limited in any given period of time, there's only a small number of new ones that are issued to the world. So the finite set of coins, like Bitcoin or Ether or others, can move if some very large institution comes into the market. So that's what's happening over these last couple years, is the market swings are not so much people finding new coins or running away scared because they don't think the asset has value anymore. I believe it has to do with these large institutions dipping their toe in the water, and they have such an impact every time a large institution wants to invest in some cryptocurrency that the prices are just wildly swinging. So in order to get a little bit more mass adoption, people have to understand it a little better in simple terms. People have to see that the wild swings are not going to put their nest egg and retirement savings at high risk. But then there also has to be essentially retail banks. You have to be able to go into your local bank and exchange crypto for dollars. So those are my three. That's a huge macro trend that we're seeing right now. It's early days still after about 9 years of availability beyond the original pioneers. We are now in a stage of the early mass, right? The early mass is getting into this with maybe 1 to 5% of their nest egg, understanding that it's got high volatility, it's high risk, high reward right now, and you may just want to steer clear of the brand new ones. There's new ones being created almost every day.
We're joined by our tech expert, Mark Mastriani, talking about some of the latest trends that could become mainstream. Mark, I can tell you that my wife has listened to Bill Ulivieri's explanations over the years, and he's been one of those pioneers talking about Bitcoin and crypto. And she says she still doesn't get it. So a lot of folks, you know, find it very difficult to understand the whole concept. But do you think that the Super Bowl ads, there was a ton of money that was invested in ads on cryptocurrency. Do you think that it may be opening up the eyes of folks that this is on its way to becoming more mainstream?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Because let's think about who were the early adopters of crypto. It was mostly Gen Z, somewhat of the gaming community, video gaming community has been early adopters of Bitcoin, because you can exchange Bitcoin for products and services in virtual reality, which is another trend we'll talk about here in a moment, or maybe on the next time we get together. But what does it mean that a cryptocurrency bank or platform buys a Super Bowl ad? Well, families and mature adults are watching the Super Bowl on linear TV, right? Who watches commercials? The people who are watching the major networks, right? Cryptocurrency has never been on a major network. They've been on some of the cable networks, some of the business channels, but now they know that they will not succeed unless they reach the mainstream. And reaching the mainstream, the textbook definition in the United States of America in 2022 is a Super Bowl ad. And those did go up. It was $6.5 million for a 30-second Super Bowl ad this year. So you had to make a conscious choice to purchase one of these ads and do it in a way that would be memorable beyond Super Bowl Sunday.
Real quickly, before we run out of time, there was also ads for electric vehicles. When is that going to become mainstream?
Two things, and I'll be super brief. The two things that are limiting electric vehicle mass market adoption are cars that are under $40,000, which are coming, right? There are a number of them on the horizon. There's even some that are speculated under $30,000 for their starting price. The second is the availability of electric charging stations ubiquitous, just like gas stations. I don't think on a road trip, I wonder if there'll be enough gas stations for when my car runs out of gas across this road trip. I just don't have to worry about that. The infrastructure,
especially in cold weather. Especially in cold weather, there were folks who were saying, you know, remember a while back when there was that big storm and there were hundreds of cars stuck on the interstate on the East Coast. They were saying if those would have been electric cars, those people would have been in bad shape.
Right. So is there? So to get us to a little bit more assurance, we need a lot more infrastructure built out so that that worry, that concern goes down. And maybe the bridge to that adoption are some of these electric plug-in hybrids, which have a small gas tank in case of emergencies. There's a number of them out there right now from some of the Asian car companies, but maybe that might be a bridge to electric that will ease a lot of concerns for the mass market. But I would say those are the two big areas, the high upfront cost and currently the limited infrastructure of electric charging stations across the whole country.
And the reality is that there has been a ton of electric vehicle sales, at least worldwide. From what I understand, it grew by over 43% in 2020, especially in certain places in Europe, like Norway and the Netherlands. But again, the question is, when is that going to catch on here in the U.S.?
Well, it's starting on the coasts, as you would imagine, where there's high density in the big cities. So in 2021, I saw just a statistic this past week where in the state of California, the top two sold vehicles are a Toyota Camry and a Tesla Model Y. And they were both in the 60 to 70,000 unit during the year in sales. California, one of our biggest states, is also one of our biggest car purchasers. And you would imagine that the technology that came out of Silicon Valley would be adopted by the state that it came from. However, I think it is the leading edge of that trend, about roughly equal in both of those vehicles.
Great stuff, Mark. We're going to have to hold off and talk about virtual reality next time around. But as always, thanks so much for your insights and your education here on All Things Tech, as always.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill from the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, is going to be with us to give us his perspective on the plummeting abortion rates since the heartbeat law went into effect in his home state of Texas. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to just take a moment to say once again, thank you for another fantastic winter pledge drive last week. Unbelievable support. We reached our goal of $3 million by Friday evening at 8 p.m., and we've received much more and then some. Thank you again to all of you who opened up your hearts and gave from the heart. And I want to especially say thank you to our Blessed Mother. Under the title of Our Lady of Lourdes, we invoked Our Lady of Lourdes last Friday on her feast day. And she absolutely helped us in so many ways. If you missed, for whatever reason, if you weren't available, you're out of town, or you're just downright busy, you can still give from the heart and make a tax-deductible donation. You can give us a call at 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com or by making a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. So the pledge drive ended last week, but there's still a chance here for the first couple of days of this week if you feel compelled to help us out. And of course, we cannot do it without you. We need your help every 3 months, and you always come through. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, there's new data released by the Texas Health and Human Services Commission just last week that revealed that the Texas heartbeat law has cut abortions by 60% in the first month after the legislation went into effect on September 1st of last year. This is how the local TV station Fox 7 Austin reported on this news.
Abortions fell 60% in Texas in the first month after the state's restrictive new abortion law went into effect. It's according to new data from Texas Health and Human Services Commission. Senate Bill 8, also known as the Heartbeat Law, took effect last September. The Texas law bans most abortions once cardiac activity is detected. That's usually around 6 weeks and before most people know they're pregnant. In August, before the law went into effect, HHS reported more than 5,400 abortions statewide. In September, there were nearly 2,200 abortions in Texas. State health officials say more data will be released on a monthly basis. The numbers do not take into account how many people have traveled out of state for abortion care. The controversial law remains in effect for now as litigation continues over its constitutionality.
And now joining us for much more is His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill to talk about these plummeting abortion numbers since the heartbeat law went into effect in his home state of Texas. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He serves as a member of the USCCB's Subcommittee on African American Affairs and as a consultant for the USCCB's Pro-Life Committee. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me again. How are you doing today? Sounds like you had a beautiful, beautiful testimony for the donations to help your mission with Relevant Radio. So a great deal of gratitude for that and prayers for all the listeners and all those who have contributed to your mission. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, Excellency. We're very humbled. We're very blessed. We have incredible, incredible listeners. Well over 15,000 donations just in last week. It's just truly amazing. People are hungry for Christ. They're hungry for the message of Relevant Radio. They're hungry for the pro-life message that we bring a platform to every single day here on Relevant Radio. So thank you, Excellency. I really appreciate it, Bishop Cahill. You know, we're blessed to be able to give you a platform on a regular basis and have you on our show. So, there's many blessings to be thankful for, Bishop.
There you go. And thank you for bringing up the pro-life causes and, in a sense, advances and a hope that we have right now. The indication that, you know, the new state law, it has had success in letting women and men know of options for life. And so one of the things we talk about in our pro-life community is the need now to know about the options for life that young people have, because sometimes they feel trapped and don't know of options to protect the life of the child. And so we've done a lot of work the last couple of years with Walking with Moms in Need and, you know, different crisis pregnancy centers, maternity homes, things that are options to help young women and the men also to accompany them, that there are options for the life of the child. And so I think that's also something we need to be aware of right now, is sometimes statistics just get reported as statistics, but we know these are human beings involved and people with emotions and feelings and questions and doubts and fears, and that we can walk with them. And I know like here in our area in South Texas, there are good women and men who you can go to with the Gabriel Project. You can always find a phone number, any Catholic church, you can go to any Catholic church and ask for help and people to help you and guide you. When people are going through like maybe the dark night and wondering what's gonna happen, and that's when I hear like behind the statistics are 3,000 more lives that will have potential, that can grow, that we can nourish, and we can bring into being. And so there's still more work to do, because there's still, you know, even in the story, there's still 2,000, and so it's not zero, but that at least we're providing alternatives and hope for people in the world. So I thank you for mentioning that, because it's the state legislators, they took a stand for life, and for us to say that we are able to promote and protect and defend every life, so these children can be born first, but then to flourish as they grow.
Well, Excellency, according to various reports, there's been over 13,860 babies that have been saved by this law alone. Yeah. So it really is making a difference. I imagine that a lot of folks were feeling pretty good at your candlelight march that you had last month there in the Diocese of Victoria to celebrate life.
Oh my goodness, it's wonderful, and I think that's part of what our message, our mission was that, you know, feeling hopeful and in a sense victorious with some legislative activity, to know the responsibility and the duty that we have to really be clear that we do provide, you know, help and support for those who are suffering or may feel like they wanted to go another direction, and to say no. We're here with you. We'll walk with you. We'll be with you throughout, and we'll continue to accompany you. And so I think that's one deal. Like, yeah, in Victoria, we had, you know, a really solid group of people, and we were able to have a candlelight march on a Thursday evening. Had this tremendous speaker who, you know, actually talked more about his religious experience and conversion to Catholicism, that, you know, he was an atheist. He said he grew up not really religious, but he couldn't believe that we allowed abortion. And he talked about an instance and life that had been lost and how it had affected him. And then eventually he's trying to tell people that, you know, we have to stand up for children. And eventually, you know, a call to become Catholic. And so it's a tremendous testimony of, I remember, like in his testimony, he said, you may think this sounds kind of corny, but I thought one time God called me and talked to me. And I remember telling the people, I say, you know, we don't think that's corny. We think God speaks, and that if we open our hearts and open our minds, that God will give us direction in our lives. And sometimes it's mysterious and hard to explain. And so with this, I guess it's a discernment to say, God is leading us in a direction to promote, protect, defend human life. And for the woman and the man and the family and all those who are affected, to walk with them and say, no, there's hope. We'll be with you. And God loves you. God wants to be with you. And that we can do that. And so for us, it kind of rallies our energy and our spirituality around it. But, yeah, our candlelight march was fantastic. I heard the march in Washington was great, too, this year. That is still a lot of energy and a lot of a spiritual power with those movements.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Over 150,000 people showed up despite the mandates in our nation's capital. Yeah. And the vast majority of them were young people who have been calling themselves the pro-life generation for years. But this year they had signs that said we are the post-Roe generation. So they really anticipating that Roe's going down.
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be, you know, again, I think we always have to maintain our spiritual, you know, balance and keep praying for this and open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and praying for conversion of hearts and, you know, to keep that spiritual ground. But it seems real positive right now. A lot of hard work, and that has been, you know, years of working and trusting and moving forward. And that right now it does seem very positive and very hopeful.
Your Excellency, we know that this heartbeat law in Texas is making a difference, and it's also serving as a great example for the rest of the country. When organizations like Planned Parenthood, the abortion giant, call this law devastating, it's cutting into their business. We know something good is going on for saving babies and helping moms.
Yeah, I think so. And also, if they have to, well, again, I would say our ground spiritually, they have to see the reality of what they're promoting. And it shines light on it. And for us to say that there are alternatives that are positive, and that you know, we can help walk with this family through the situation. And even in the worst case scenario, you know, that you can drop a person can drop a baby off at a firehouse or, like I said, the local Catholic church, just to protect that life, and that we can walk with the person through all the different stages and to bring healing and hope in each situation. So we feel very positive about it. And definitely keep our prayer going. And we still, you know, we talk about the broader call to create the culture of life, to think of the different ways in which, you know, that we still have to work on creating this culture where every life is respected and defended. But this feels really good for us right now.
Excellency, I know you mentioned a couple of organizations that are doing fantastic work in really helping women and giving them real options. And we're talking about Project Gabriel and Walking with Moms in Need. I want to definitely talk about that on the other side of the break. But I appreciate also that you help put it in perspective that, you know, these stats are nice, but these numbers represent a baby. They represent a mother, a father, a family. It impacts entire communities. And so we have to put that into perspective of just what these numbers mean, these 13,860 beautiful little babies that have been saved since September 1st in Texas.
Yes, and every you hear the testimonies of women and men coming back after they decide to have the child, like 2 or 3 years later, and showing the person who maybe had been outside the Planned Parenthood peacefully protesting and letting them see alternatives. And so, like I mentioned, they call it the Blue Bus at the place in Houston, and they've saved babies, and people come back to testify, like, thank you for letting me know there's an alternative. That sometimes, like I call it the culture of death, wants to say there's no alternative, you have to do this. And it's like, no, there are alternatives. And we have been working at it. And so it's so, it's emotional. It's very uplifting to say that human lives have been protected, defended. And then what's the potential for that child in the future that can live and produce?
We're joined by His Excellency Bishop Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. If you have something on your heart about the heartbeat law, if you have a comment or question for Bishop Cahill, please give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We got to take a short break, Excellency, but we're going to continue our conversation with Bishop Cahill after a short timeout. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation.
Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio
and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're talking about the thousands of unborn babies that have been saved just through the Texas Heartbeat Law. Some nearly 14,000 babies since last fall that have been saved just due to this law. And we're chatting about it with His Excellency Bishop Brendan Cahill. Excellency, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Oh, great. No, it's a blessing to be here and to be with you. And then I listened to the commercials at the break. The University of Mary, that Monsignor Shea, he wrote a book I just read a couple weeks ago, From Christendom to Apostolic Age. Have you ever heard about his writings?
Oh, my goodness. He's a regular contributor. Have I heard about him? He comes on with us every 2 weeks. He is outstanding. He never ceases to amaze me with his wisdom and his insights and his passion for life and for our Catholic faith.
Well, that's it. It's in the context of what we're talking about now, you know, with the apostolic age, it's like to proclaim to people the value of every human life and to do it boldly and with love and with compassion. And not to presume that people would have that respect for life that we have. And so it's one of those to say, kind of gives encouragement for us in our work. And the image of if we call it culture of life, or if we call culture that respects every human person, then it says we're bringing something to the world. And to do it, and the images, just for me spiritually, we talk about that March for Life, when you see hundreds of thousands of young people and, you know, proclaiming the beauty of our faith, our candlelight vigil we had in our town of Victoria, where, you know, people march and pray the rosary, that the ground we have, the spiritual ground in the Holy Spirit and in Mary and in trusting ourselves to God, that God is the one guiding this, and it gives us hope. And then, you know, like we're talking about Gabriel Project or other programs where we want to accompany people, then we can evangelize. Then we can let them know about the love of Jesus and why we do what we do. But it was funny when I heard his voice on the commercial. I said, yeah, I've read his book, that University of Mary. Sounds very, very good, like what he's doing and writing about.
And the University of Mary is a great example. They're a great example of leadership in terms of young people. They led the March for Life a few years ago. That entire university is on fire for the issue of life. And so, we're very blessed to have Monsignor Shea with us on a regular basis. Excellency, you know, you mentioned these two organizations, Project Gabriel and Walking with Moms in Need. Can you talk a little bit about this incredible work that they're doing, really helping mothers who find themselves in a very worried, very confused, very difficult situation when they have an unplanned pregnancy?
Right. The two things that I wanted to mention, Walking with Moms in Need is an initiative of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. When Archbishop Nauman was the chair of our pro-life committee, and we're continuing it with Archbishop Laurie, but that we wanted to, it says, nationally talk about all the ways in which dioceses are offering support and encouragement for women who are in need, who need support. And to say it's holistic, it's spiritual, it's material, it's helping whatever, that each woman who has a crisis pregnancy can have support from a local community. And so to me, it's kind of inspirational to see not just what we're doing locally, but you see all around the country, dioceses, and to create like a network of support and ideas and things that we're doing. And so I think the Walking with Moms in Need, I'm sure, I haven't looked at it lately, but I'm sure you can still look it up on the internet and see the website and go to your own diocese and see what's being done to offer support. So on one hand, for our listeners, you know, if someone wants to say, what more can I do, that will give you resources how you can help. But also, if you're a young woman who's struggling, or a young man who's not knowing what to do with the situation, just to know there are places you can look to. You can look privately, just look online, see what who do I call, where can I get support, and that we can say, no, we want to walk with you. We don't want to it's not just a one-time thing, it's a long-term. We will support you, we'll love you, we'll give you opportunities and hope. And so the Walking with Moms in Need, in my view, I see it's more the national view. You see, oh, my goodness, from coast to coast, we are doing things. And then the Gabriel Project, to me, it's more local. It's parish-based. And I remember even 30, 40 years ago, Gabriel Project has been around parish-based to say that, you know, you have a sign at the parish, to let people know if you're pregnant, if you need help, we're here for you. It could be getting diapers. It could be doing whatever. We'll do whatever to help you with your child, to give you support and encouragement. And the great work being done with Gabriel Project is local, like in the parish. And to see, you probably could contact your parish and say, is there anything I could do? And I always say the first thing is to pray to you know, have it on memorari, is to pray to Mary, pray prayers of the Holy Spirit, pray for God's direction for people in difficult circumstances, and to pray for those who want to accompany them with the hands of Jesus Christ in the moment. And so for me, I always say that we want to focus on the positive, what we are doing, and then we can always do more. You know, pray, God, give us direction and guidance. What more can we do?
And Excellency, the Gabriel Project is helping women in many different ways. They're providing resources, information about assistance with prenatal care. They also help with maternity and baby clothes, cribs, strollers, all the baby items that you could possibly need. They could provide referrals to housing for medical care and counseling, as well as adoption information. So they bring a lot of different services to a mother that is in a difficult situation.
And I think you mentioned that the prenatal care is so important to be in that time, and because there's just a lot, obviously a lot going on, and to have a human being and person to person, and that's always like one of my little things of preaching Jesus. It's always one to one, and that there are people there who are trained too. I mean, they know how to relate, they know the material, they know what to share, and that it's a human touch that's being given to a person in a difficult time. And so obviously, it's a beautiful ministry, and the people who participate in it, they'll share stories of just how it's touched their lives.
Excellency, how can we be more compassionate and really have a heart when one of our family members or a loved one gets pregnant and they find themselves in a difficult situation? How can we show more compassion and less judgment?
I think our Holy Father, he's given a good model in the synodality, and kind of in our diocese, we've almost defined it a church who listens. And so I think the first level is just to listen. And so I know for myself, I tend to think, well, I have the answers, and I want to give answers right away. And to say, no, let me first of all listen, and then, you know, it's a relationship, so I'll talk to the person later on. It's not the only time I'm ever going to talk to the person. And to say, you know, give a few days to think about it, reflect upon it, to pray about it. And then I think that's the second time to be able to talk with the person to show alternatives. And then that's where I say the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind, because you'll find all of a sudden you have words you might not have had the first time. And the first time it might have been my own will, like I want to say X, Y, and Z, and maybe I was being judgmental. But if I take time to let it sink in and have a second conversation, the second conversation can begin to open up possibilities. And so one of my things I just say practically is the first thing is just to listen, and then to accompany and think of alternatives that are positive with a person. And ultimately, we all trust in God. God is the one who created the world. God keeps it in being. God is directing it. Even, you know, my understanding of Fatima, that Mary, my immaculate heart will prevail, that we can have confidence in God working through this.
Amen. Excellency, we have to leave it right there. Again,
wow, it went fast.
walkingwithmomsinneed.com and projectgabriel.org. Thank you so much, Your Excellency, Bishop Brendan Cahill, for being with us.
God bless you. May Almighty God bless you and all your listeners today with his presence, his hope, his healing, his encouragement. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Bishop. It's now time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner. Our story today is called Flowers for Widows. It's from Sunny Skies. 39-year-old Ashley Manning is a florist in Charlotte, North Carolina. Last year, she started her Valentine's Day widow outreach by asking her followers on Instagram to send her names and addresses
of widows so she could bring them flower arrangements. She ended up delivering 121 arrangements, even though her goal was just 25. This year, the project has grown immensely, with the help of 150 volunteers. Manning planned to deliver 400 arrangements on Valentine's Day. The project funded by donations and local businesses. Last year, Manning said she brought her children to deliver flowers in a gift bag to an elderly widow in her neighborhood. When the woman answered the door, Manning explained what they were doing. And she said, "This is just so nice. Just makes me want to cry." Manning went on to tell Fox News, and then she started to cry, and then my 10-year-old son started to cry. We stood there and talked to her, and she told us her husband had been gone for so long. And she said, "When they're gone for so long, you forget to be sad on days like this because you forget what it was like to even get things on Valentine's Day." Manning said her 8-year-old daughter told her she felt really good afterwards. As a parent, that's something you can't teach, something they have to feel on their own. That's the most memorable moment for me, with the kids seeing what it meant to that lady, said Manning. "Our job is to show kids how to be human. And if we're all just a little more selfless and thought a little more about others, I think this would be a whole different world." From James 1:27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Martha Fernandez-Sardina will be with us and Dr. Bob Tavali with all things COVID. Stay with us. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air.